somebody asked me about like things I would have done differently, and I forget what I said. I didn't have a great answer. It was all of it, I think. But no, I definitely would have looked in more to like the cognitive component, decision making under pressure. So decision making, what is sparring? What's the purpose of you're making decisions in real time under pressure? So you're making those decisions about what to do, but can you train that without the impact on your body? So can you put the scroll, catch the color of this stick? Can you do other things like turn? We used to do tennis balls.
Yeah.
You know, yellow tennis balls catch, black tennis balls dodge. You know, it's pretty good. Or you like the turn or where they throw it on the wall in front of you. There's, you know, and then again, I work in those cognitive skills in a manner that doesn't damage your body. And then my question to you would be, does working those cognitive skills in that manner, is that going to translate to combat sports?
That's
and
the
probably
biggest
is,
question.
Right? Yeah.
And I had a fighter that I'm working with, he's from Saudi Arabia, and he asked me that just yesterday. It was our second session together. And I say yes, and this is why.
Okay.
It's not necessarily, it's like strength conditioning, right?
Yeah.
If you squat 300-400 pounds, you're strong, your muscles can generate more force, but your technique and your mindset is going to put those forces to use.
Mm-hmm.
So with a cognitive training, I look at it the same way. I want to see how do you deviate, like you said, under pressure. If I do a reaction drill with like the lights or something like that, or on the iPad, it's not going to be a direct transfer to kicks and punches and grappling, but I can at least measure and see when you're at it with more stress or cognitive load,
yeah.
Do you go down in thinking? Do you go up? Because I have some fighters who get better when I up the cognitive load
yeah.
and some get worse when I lower it. And I want to see what that tells me. So it's more like an interpretation for me versus the end all outcome of, am I going to fight better?
Yeah.
Yes, I would say generally.
Is it transferable? Yeah, to some extent it would have to be, right?
Yes.
Your ability to, you know, process information is important.
Exactly. And I was going to ask actually before they stopped, I think the next person before we had to stop. And my question was actually more about the field. Oh, you have to say that? Oh, sorry.
I have no idea.
So the question I was going to ask you was about the field of, you made a good point of having people who may not need the confidence or the self-talk.
Yeah.
But that's why I was going to ask, do you see like how MMA is multidisciplinary? You can't just be a good boxer, a good grappler, a good jiu-jitsu artist. But in sports psych, what if we had a person who had a little bit of the strength conditioning, had a little bit of the cognitive, a little bit of the mental skills, because I think personally, I'm a little biased, that multidisciplinary approach, not even just fighting, it gives a lot more tools to the athlete. So that's what I was going to ask. Do you think that would give more advantage versus
of
saying
course.
Someone?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the more things that a practitioner is familiar with or has expertise on, the more they're going to internally be able to make the decision about how to prioritize, right? At the end of the day, training a sport like mixed martial arts, a bit like a decathlon, only harder. Decathlon is really, if it's a decathlon, you're training to be a good athlete, you'll be better at everything.
Yep.
All right, yeah, there's a technical component, but that's my argument against the similarity. But
I'm a track guy, so I agree with you.
Yeah, but you're trying to decide where to prioritize your time and energy. What skills are you in most need of? What skills should you be working now to win your fight on X date?
Mm-hmm. So
I really like when you do these things, because it kind of makes you mentally rehearse and say aloud your philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly how I look at it, because
the
applied psychology gets used a lot, and my scrutinization a little bit is how practical is it? Because obviously we need the self-talk visualization. I'm big on that.
Yeah.
We have to have that. But I use a term of dynamic is actually on my board. Dynamic mental health versus static mental health. Static is like the breathing, the visualization. But just like a workout, right? You don't just stretch and say, I'm going to go home now.
Well, they didn't show the sheet, but that was kind of like the whole, like my journal article that I got to work on. That was the start of it, is like, this is a practice. This is a training camp. What skills should I use where and why?
Mm-hmm.
What should I be doing? And you have a similar approach, like, you know, as far as like, you know, your cognitive load, right? Like you're training X, Y, and Z. This is what you're training at the beginning of camp to get better. This is what you're training at the end of camp. And I would assume like even the periods of time, like they get shorter and more intense as you get closer to the fight. Cause you want a bit of a deload, but you still want to be hitting those high points, right?
Exactly. Periodization. You put it on your slide. The periodization is.
Yeah.
I actually did my master's thesis on periodization mental skills. So
that's
why I said you hit it on the paper. Like you said, we're experts.
Super cool, man.
But you're the real expert, because you can take the practical from fighting and mix it with your knowledge base.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I need to revise it, because that was 11 years ago. So it definitely has some rebuffing.
No,
but
I would love to
touch
see
up
that.
On
that's
it because
super cool.
I know a lot more now. because I was still a student, so I was still learning. But it's mostly just mental skills, though. It doesn't have like the cognitive stuff.
I went over mine, the one we did for this, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know too much. That looks pretty good.
Nah, it worked. And I think everyone felt it because my big, I hate keep using the word scrutiny, but like any industry, I even scrutinized myself. Things I was doing with like Dustin should. 7 years ago, some of it I don't do anymore because eventually not. I saw like, going back to what we said, is this relevant for him? Well, physical, mental, cognitive?
You've only got a limited amount of time. Yes. Is it the most valuable thing you can be doing with the time you have with your athlete? And that's something else. And again, if you have an expertise in all these things, then you can make that decision better, right? As far, well, I he's a strong dude. He's conditioned. We don't need more maximal strength, but we do need better coordination.
And that's exactly how I approach it, because there are some camps, like the first time I worked with him, I didn't know as much about MMA because like, so I'm a football, baseball, track guy. So I had to do a lot of learning. But I'm a student in any sport, tactical, whatever it is, I become a student of it. So as we went on through the years, I said, okay, this makes more sense because some camps are different than others. You know more than anyone.
Well, and I'll give you this. The Performance Institute does so well is they've quantified what it looks like to be good enough or to be able to compete, you know? So we can take you and your strength, your cognitive abilities. We can give a clear, you know, assessment of those and say, this is where you excel, maintain. Hey, this is where you are at a decrement. You need to improve. So they can tell you what good enough looks like. So again, you can set your priorities and your goals for that training camp. And I think that's like super important. And you know, 8 years ago would never occur to me. Maybe it did. Who knows?
Well, you guys at the UN, Duncan at the Institute, and everyone else, I haven't been there probably since 2019, right before COVID. Yeah. So I know you've done so much. I think you have two more now in China and Mexico.
Yeah.
So it's come a long way. So you guys have been doing great work. And when I got there, I was honored to be able to even be invited. And Duncan's a great guy, and it's great to meet you in person finally. So I like thank you for your time. Legendary Forrest Griffin. I don't know if you need any more introduction than that, but thanks. And y'all always get your mind right.